Welcome to Noracast Tech Briefing. Today is Friday, August 7th, 2026.
We have a fascinating lineup for you today. We're going to look at a major milestone from Google DeepMind in severe weather forecasting, and we're also taking a hard look at the state of the tech industry itself.
Right. There's a really compelling piece making the rounds about what happens when an entire class of knowledge workers starts losing faith in their careers. It's a heavy topic, but an unavoidable one given the massive shifts we're seeing with AI deployment and corporate restructuring.
Absolutely. And later in our roundup, we'll hit some governance drama in the NixOS community, check in on DeepSeek's latest benchmark verifications, and look at some highly specific developer requests for Claude Code. Let's get right into it.
Our first story today touches on something that I think a lot of people in the industry are feeling right now, even if they aren't saying it out loud. A new piece published in Noema magazine is asking a very pointed question. What happens if an entire class of workers loses faith in their careers? And the numbers backing up this existential crisis are honestly staggering.
They really are. According to the data, tech worker burnout has reached 71% this year. And if you narrow that down to just software engineers, it's even higher, hitting 74%. We are seeing a profound exhaustion across the board.
And you can't separate that burnout from the macroeconomic reality. The piece notes that total tech layoffs in 2026 have already surpassed the 2025 annual total. We're only in early August, and we've already seen over 125,000 jobs cut. That creates a pervasive sense of instability.
Exactly. And it's leading to what's being called the Great Job Reset. You have high-earning professionals who previously derived a massive amount of identity and purpose from their work, what the article refers to as workism, suddenly feeling like their labor is being commoditized. It's gotten to the point where an industry survey found that 53% of tech workers would actually discourage newcomers from entering the field.
That statistic is wild to me. More than half of the people building the future wouldn't recommend their own profession. But here's where the paradox really sets in. In that same survey, 82% of respondents acknowledge that AI is actively increasing their personal productivity. So they are getting faster, the tools are getting better, but morale is in the absolute gutter.
Right, because individual productivity isn't translating into job security or even corporate success in the way we might expect. The data shows a massive deployment-to-value gap. Only 26 to 29% of companies report achieving meaningful financial ROI from their AI investments. So executives are spending billions on AI, not seeing the immediate financial returns they promised shareholders, and then attempting to balance the books by cutting headcount.
And it's not always formal layoffs, right? The piece highlights the concept of invisible unemployment. Companies are increasingly using attrition to shrink their workforce. They just freeze hiring, enforce return-to-office mandates they know will push people out, and let the headcount naturally bleed down. For the workers left behind, the workload goes up, but the support network is gone.
Which loops right back to that 74% burnout rate for software engineers. The discussion we really need to have is whether this is just a temporary reaction to economic volatility in the current AI hype cycle, or if the fundamental social contract of knowledge work has been permanently altered. I lean toward the latter. For the last two decades, software engineering was viewed as the ultimate safe harbor. It was creative, highly compensated, and commanded a lot of respect. Now, with AI automating the boilerplate and companies treating senior engineers as expensive line items rather than core assets, that illusion of safety is gone.
There's also a long-term risk for the companies themselves. If the most talented workers continue to lose faith in their careers and actively seek fulfillment outside of tech, who is going to build and govern these systems? You can't maintain a culture of innovation when everyone is just waiting for the other shoe to drop.
And who's going to mentor the juniors? If 53% are telling people to stay away, the pipeline of institutional knowledge is going to dry up. It's a sobering look at the human cost of this transition. And it suggests that the real bottleneck for AI might not be compute or data, but the willingness of human experts to keep participating in a system that doesn't seem to value them anymore.
Thank you.
Moving from the existential to the highly practical, Google DeepMind just published a landmark paper in Nature on August 6th. They've introduced Weather Next, an AI model that has achieved state-of-the-art accuracy in predicting tropical cyclone tracks, intensity, and wind structure.
This is a massive deal for meteorology. Historically, forecasting these kinds of extreme weather events required a split approach. Forecasters had to rely on coarse global models to predict the storm's track, and then switch to high-resolution local models to figure out its intensity. WeatherNext integrates both of those capabilities into a single, highly efficient AI model.
And the results are striking. The model provides an average of one extra day of predictive lead time. That means a three-day forecast from WeatherNext is as accurate as a two-day forecast was using the previous generation of models. When you're talking about evacuating a coastline, an extra 24 hours of reliable warning is the difference between life and death.
We actually saw this play out in the real world last year. During the 2025 Atlantic hurricane season, WeatherNext was used operationally by the National Hurricane Center to help forecast Hurricane Melissa. The model successfully predicted its rapid intensification and landfall, giving emergency responders critical extra time.
The technical architecture here is fascinating. WeatherNext uses what DeepMind calls functional generative networks, or FGNs. Because it's so computationally efficient, it can generate an ensemble of 1,000 possible weather scenarios in under a minute, running on just a single TPU.
That speed is a total paradigm shift. Traditional physics-based numerical weather prediction takes massive supercomputers hours to run just a few dozen ensemble members. By generating 1,000 scenarios in a minute, meteorologists can get a much richer probabilistic view of where a storm might go and how bad it might get.
DeepMind is also making this accessible to the broader scientific community. They've open-sourced three variants of the model: WeatherNext Cyclones, WeatherNext 2, and a smaller WeatherNext 2 Mini, all under an Apache 2.0 license. This means researchers and smaller meteorological agencies worldwide can run state-of-the-art forecasting locally.
It does bring up an interesting debate within the meteorological community, though. As we shift from traditional physics-based models to AI-driven generative ones, there is concern about relying on black boxes for high-stakes evacuation decisions. How do forecasters validate a 1,000-scenario ensemble in real time when the underlying physics aren't explicitly coded into the model?
That's the core tension. And there's another layer to it. These models are trained heavily on historical reanalysis data, like the ERA5 dataset. Critics point out that in a rapidly changing climate, historical patterns might no longer be reliable predictors for future extreme events. If a storm behaves in a completely unprecedented way, an AI trained on the past might struggle more than a physics-based model would.
That's a valid concern, but the empirical results with Hurricane Melissa suggest the model is generalizing well so far. Providing an extra day of lead time is an undeniable breakthrough, and putting it out there under an Apache license ensures that the global community can test its limits and build on top of it. All right, that's a lot to chew on regarding the future of forecasting and the tech labor market. Let's pivot and hit a few more stories real quick in our roundup.
Sounds good. We've got some updates on open source governance, some verified benchmark scores, and a look at how developers are trying to customize their AI tools.
First up, we've got some verified benchmark results for the DeepSeek V4 Flash 0731 model we discussed last week. ArcPrize just verified the model at 89.0% on ArcAGI 1 and 61.4% on ArcAGI 2 when using maximum reasoning effort. Those are serious numbers for an open weights model with only 13 billion active parameters. It really highlights the trade-off they've introduced with the three reasoning effort levels. Cranking it to max significantly boosts accuracy on fluid reasoning tasks, proving that giving the model more compute time to think pays off on complex benchmarks.
In open source community news, the Nix Packages core team announced they have disbanded after just 10 months of operation. The team cited unsustainable workloads, severe burnout, and systemic governance friction with the NixOS steering committee.
Yeah, their exit statement was pretty blunt, calling out the steering committee for unnecessary micromanagement and a lack of native instinct for delegation. They did manage to onboard 19 new committers during their short tenure, but this highlights how difficult it is to establish sustainable leadership structures in massive, fast-moving open-source ecosystems.
Finally, looking at Anthropic's Claude code repository, there's a highly specific feature request gaining traction. Issue 85078 is asking for Vim mode-aware keybinding contexts, specifically so the enter key inserts a new line when in insert mode, but submits the prompt when in normal mode.
It's a perfect example of the tension in AI tooling right now. Anthropic wants to build a simple, magical vibe coding experience, but power users want these agents to perfectly map to their deeply ingrained Vim muscle memory. You can't win over senior developers without respecting their existing workflows.
And that is all the time we have for today's briefing. Thanks for tuning in.
We'll be back tomorrow with more updates and analysis from the edge of tech. Stay safe out there.
Catch you then.